This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Okay. If I were a Jew, if I were a Jew, if I were a Jew is the name of this show that you're listening to. If I were a Jew, Pod knows just what I should do. Advice from two fools, yeah, I just don't know if I should trust these lying Jews. But they've helped me before, and I need help some more. I need to know what to do. I need to know what to do. Oh, if I were a Jew show, yeah.
Whoa.
If I were a Jew show, very nice.
It's funny, he said his name is Martin, but then he said, my name is Martin. I'm not anti-Semitic. I just like the show. Shout out to the helmet boy, the little fucker. So shout out to the helmet boy, I guess.
He sounded kind of like a Scandinavian Mumford and Son, don't you
think? Yeah, I think he was trying to do like Queen, like Freddie Mercury, I want to break free style. If I were a you, style, if I were a Jew.
Style.
So it was like a parody of a satire of an anti-Semitic rant, and I loved the hell out of it.
Yeah.
How was, we're recording this basically in real time. We are, it's Sunday, December 30th. We're just going to record and upload this shit ASAP.
New Year's Eve tomorrow.
New Year's Eve. Adam's Eve.
The penultimate new year.
I haven't seen you since you drove across the country, then went up state, went to Connecticut, basically 2 weeks of constant moving.
Yeah.
Was it insane? Was it fun? Was it easy? Was there any funny story that happened? Were you mugged? Were you robbed? Did you run out of gas in a funny way?
It was pretty insane, I would say. I guess immediately, the first 20 minutes into our road trip, it became very clear that the suspension in my car was dangerously bad.
You never want to find something out one step into a marathon.
Yeah. So, and I got my car tuned up. There was a problem with the starter. There was the brakes were real worn. I got it like a full tune-up, and I went to the mechanic, and I was like, this is when I was picking it up, and I'm like, I'm just trying to get it to drive across the country. He's like, you're doing what?
I'm just trying to get it to do the hardest thing a car can do. And just like, get me to the point where I can do the hardest thing that the car can do.
He's like, you're driving it how far? And I was like, about 3,000 miles. And he literally said, oh shit. Oh, shit, that's really far.
Oh, shit, 300 miles? No, 3,000 miles. Oh, and
And I told him, he was like, I did not tell this to Jill, but I was like, what are the odds? What are the chances I can get across the country? And he was like, 50-50.
Wow, that's not bad, actually.
So that was, so we're driving, leaving LA, and the car is like, it's wobbling almost like a rowboat adrift in the ocean.
And it's like one of those things where like, is the street fine? You really just hope it's the street.
Yeah, I was really hoping it was the street, but it was so very flat. And we were like rocking back and forth like we were getting hit by waves.
So I don't know anything about cars. What is suspensions?
I mean, I don't know anything about it really either, but I think the idea is it's kind of like if, when you go over bumps, the suspension is supposed to cradle your car in a way that like allows like the wheels to go over bumps without you really feeling it.
That's right, like a Steadicam. Yeah,
exactly. So I didn't have that. Every time we went over a pebble, it felt like we were going to be thrown from the truck and end up in a ditch. We felt every bump.
Instead of like a spring in your step, your legs were stiff the entire time. So every time there was a slight uptick, you felt it through the car, up your ass, into your spine.
Correctamundo.
Into your jaw.
Into my, white knuckling across Kansas, which is really supposed to be just like put a brick on the gas and you can go. It's straight. But I was constantly afraid that we were going to get knocked off the road, which... And Jill's like a good driver, but she's never driven a car that was as old or bad as mine.
Yeah, a boat of a car.
So I drove literally the entire time.
It was a bad car.
Yeah, it was a bad car. I mean, a great car. I love my car so much. My car did an incredible job, all things considered. I was a bad guy for making my car do that.
Yeah, you basically,
I don't blame the car. The car is
you basically
great.
Hopped on your great uncle and you said, let's run a 10K.
Go on, up. Morty. Give me up, Morty.
It's just Marty and drag.
And the other thing, like when we were, so we had to, part of our road trip was over the Colorado Rockies. And I had my foot was cramping because I was giving it so much gas trying to get it over the mountain, and it was topping out at like 42.
Yeah, slower than, isn't there like a speed limit, but in the opposite direction?
The minimum
direction?
Was 40. It was 40.
A speed minimum.
I was barely going the minimum. It really felt like at any moment I could just start rolling back down.
Was it ever a point where you're like, this is not worth the stress, let's just park the car, kill it, and take a flight or something?
No, it was always all right. But there were times when I was like, our ETA says we're going to be getting here at 7:30, but like I know it's going to be closer to 8 because I have to drive 5 miles per hour slower than the speed limit, which is what the traffic estimate is based on.
Yeah, there should be like a Waze thing that says like, actually, I'm going 42, not 65. So adjust the ETA accordingly.
Piece of shit car Waze.
And then you get to the other side of the country and you get to a pier, you look into the water and then you nod and you put the cinder block on the gas pedal and just send it into the ocean, right? That's like the Viking funeral for your car.
I gave my car a Viking funeral. I lit it aflame and I drove it off a pier in New York.
All your stuff still in it.
shit.
Fuck. Actually, 911. Somebody did something fucking so stupid to my car.
I'm trying to blow out the fire.
I had a similar but less high stakes version of that story. When my car was being tuned up the other day, basically, I took it in because, you know, the wrench light turns on like 5,000 miles ago. And I'm like, I'm sure it's fine. Nothing's that bad with the car. It still feels fine. I'm leasing like a 2017. So like, how bad can something
be? You had the check engine light on for 5,000 miles?
Yeah, it wasn't check engine. It was a wrench. Which seemingly was just like general maintenance.
Got it. Like it's due for a...
Yeah, an oil or a tire or something or other. And also like the tire pressure light is on for several thousand miles. I ignore these little warning signs like a stubborn man. Just like, whatever, it's fine. The car can still move. Mm-hmm. So I take it in because I get these coupons in the mail that's like $30 off your oil change or $20, 20% off a tire alignment. Again, I don't know what these things are, cabin filter, whatever. Mm-hmm. So I bring it into the dealership and I'm like, basically, yeah, do whatever it needs. I don't know. It's been 15,000 miles. Does it need an oil change? Does it need this? And they're like, yeah, we'll give it an oil change for sure. And then we'll take a look at it and let you know if you need anything else. I'm like, okay, great, I'll be back in an hour. I come back in an hour and he says,
he's crying.
Yeah. We tried to fucking save her. It wouldn't take.
We had to Viking funeral the bitch, man.
How? He's like, so there was a nail in a tire. The tire failed the alignment test. You need to change your cabin filter, and the air filter is also bad. Do you want to change the stuff? And I'm like, how much is that? Because I was like, I knew the oil change was 79 down to like 49. He's like, that's another $180. I'm like, okay. How do I know that stuff actually happened? He's like, I mean, I can show you the paperwork. He shows me the paperwork, just numbers on a piece of paper. I don't understand any of it. My friend was texting me. He's like, try to like haggle with him, try to like go shop around. I'm like, I don't want to do any of this stuff. Sure, fine. You could do whatever you want to the car. I gave him another like $230 and then left. I don't know what they did, how they did it, whether I can do it online for free.
Yeah, I don't know that shit either. That, like, every time I go to, I always get my oil changed at, like, Jiffy Lube or Valvoline or one of those things.
Right.
And they, like, pull out a filter, like, my air filter, and they're like, this is what it looks like. You want it, like, you want a new one. Like, I don't know. Like, maybe they're, maybe that, it's next to the engine, so maybe they got, that gets instantly dirty. And you're just counting on me being stupid and being right. Like, yeah, that looks brown.
It's like, I want basically, the clean one. It's basically a stupidity tax I have to pay for not doing any homework. I'm like, I don't know, man. I'm a comedy writer. Sure, yeah. Change the cabin filter, I guess, because I don't want to stand here and Wikipedia what a cabin filter does and how to change it.
I don't have the time.
Here's $5,000. I'm going to bring my car in every year till I die. And I don't want to think about this anymore. You're really emasculating me.
Keep the car. I'm going to do Uber.
Fuck. Shit. All right. Enough catching up about our shitty ass cars. Although you're going to keep your car, right?
Yeah, I'm going to keep my car. I'm going to keep it. I went back and forth, but she got me all the way to New York. I kissed the hood of my car and I realized I love it.
Everything at this point is just gravy, right? Like, you can't ever expect it to do anything. If it dies, it's like, you're not surprised. You're happy at this point.
Yeah. She led a good life, a great life. That was her second trip driving across the country, her third trip across the country, when she did on the back of a truck.
Would you get a new car, or would you just go until this one dies?
I don't think I would. I think I'll go until this one dies. But I guess I'll, like, I don't know. I can't. I wonder if it, like, dies on the side of the road and then I give up, or is it like, you know, I check how much the suspension is to fix and it's $2,000. And I'm like, that's pretty stupid.
Right.
Maybe I should fix that.
Yeah. At this point, everything totals it, because a car being totaled is just more than it'll cost to fix. Like, is the value of the car.
Right.
So if you even just like get a flat tire, it's technically totaled.
Yes. And I mean, the engine is bad.
I'm having the same problem with like my dad. Like, I don't know if I should just like continue keeping him alive at this point, or like, cause he's like, he's fine. He's healthy, but he like got a car. Off, and I'm like, should I just fucking
push
this old bastard into the ocean?
That's not the same problem. Like,
well, I went to do it, and he beat me up. He kicked my ass.
Okay, so that's even sadder, I guess, because it's like he abuses you, but also you're so weak that he can do that.
He weakened me.
35,
he's weakened me. Yeah. Right.
And you want him to die.
All right, let's get to the questions. Sure. This is an advice podcast after all.
Yep, yep.
If I were you, last episode of 2018, let's finish with a bang.
Yep.
This one is from a guy who's taking a train from LA to Portland. So we'll call him Marty.
Very cool.
Marty writes, Dear Jake and Amir, so for the holidays, my family decided to meet me on the West Coast for Christmas and even went so far as to buy me a train ticket. I have never been on a train, so they told me to take it'll take a goddamn day and a half to get to Oregon. I nearly lost my shit. I only live in the high desert east of LA. How is this fair to me? Anyways, back to the situation. Every time I travel, I make it fun by doing weird random things. For an example, when I fly, I usually pretend I don't know English after I get through security. Well, On this train, I decided to switch it up by being overly social and talking to everybody more than a comfortable amount. I ended up chatting with this woman for most of the ride as I was going to Oregon and she was heading to Washington. I made a backstory, trying to keep it believable. Oh, dear. Oh, God, I'm melting. I made up a backstory.
You gotta change your air filter, dude.
Trying to keep it believable, but also a little unique because I thought it was a funny thing to do. Mostly, I lied about just serving parole and how I was in prison a few years ago. I'm 25 now. I also lied about what I do for work, as I am in school and my actual job is lame as shit. When it was time for me to get off the train, she gave me her number and told me to call her when I went back to California. What should I do? Should I tell this woman I did a nonstop bit for the day? Should I just ghost this bee? Or should I keep this fake life going and try to smash? Heh. Don't limit your advice to these options. Please do give real advice. Thanks. Love, Marty.
That actually does sound like something Marty would do.
Just a nice, good old-fashioned bit between you and an unsuspecting other.
Yeah. It's not really a bit when it's just a lie, right?
Have you ever done a bit just for yourself?
Yeah, a bit takes two people going back and forth, playing a game. She was getting to know somebody, and you were being a liar.
Why don't you, if you keep this bit up for the rest of your life, it's not a bit. The bit then becomes who you used to be, your previous life.
The ultimate bit.
Certainly that's happened before.
Bit becomes life?
Yeah, where it's like, I was just joking, and now it's been a year, 4 years, 8 years, and this is me now. I have a family. Bit is not over, and I'm dead.
Isn't there, that's like the theory about Tupac, that because he was like, he was an actor, and he like, he was doing rap almost as like a role as an actor.
Oh, really? So you're telling me Tupac's rap career was a bit?
I don't know if I believe it, but I do know that that's a thing.
That's really cool. Isn't Drake kind of doing a bit too? Like he grew up as like a comedy actor, and then he's like, I want to try to be a rapper, and now he's still doing that rap.
His character in Degrassi, White, wanted to be a rapper. And and then he did what his character in Degrassi wanted. I think the realest Drake is the Degrassi guy.
Yeah. I remember meeting somebody who like happened to go to elementary school or high school with Drake. And she was like, yeah, Drake was like, you know, like kind of like this wannabe rapper who just kept it going and now is the number one rapper in the world. But like if he ever runs into like an old high schooler of his, then they just don't respect him anymore.
That's really...
Oh, Aubrey.
I don't even know if it's sad or interesting or funny. It's just Drake.
That's why he's Drake and you're not. Anyway, what should this guy do? Stop the bit, keep it going, or ghost the bee?
I guess I would ghost. I probably would never meet up with this person again. I don't think you get out of it. I don't think you could be like, oh yeah, I was just being a coy little devil the entire way to Portland when you thought you got to know somebody that was wrong.
Okay, or if you are going to meet up with her, what you do is gradually admit to the stuff over time.
Oh.
So it's not like the whole thing was a lie. It's like, I'm down to meet up. Just so we're 100% clear, I didn't really go to jail. And then like 2 months later, that's not really my job. And then 4 months after that, like, I don't actually serve parole. And by the time all the lies have been debunked, she likes the real you. It's a cross-dissolved bit ending.
And also, or like you could be like, the real me is a guy that does these classic bits. So next time we're on a train, I might be a vagabond going to work in an oil field in Eastern Washington.
Or you say, okay, I'm down to meet you and meet up, and then we can meet my family. But when we meet my family, I'm going to do a bit. And that bit's going to be that I'm like a fucking student and I tricked your ass into meeting them. They're going to believe it.
Yeah, you do like machine gun fire bits. She doesn't know who the real person is anymore.
Yeah, you're just constantly switching back and forth to the point where you don't even understand who you are anymore. You've
then
led a double life. The realest
you is just a bit.
Suddenly, you've changed your name and identity. You don't remember who you are. That seems like the plot to a mildly interesting movie. A guy who leads a double life to the point where he's lied to himself and now he doesn't remember who he actually is.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
It's called,
like, if the guy in Catch Me If You Can't.
Yeah, that's good. Liar, liar, liar. So it's three liars. He's lying to himself. It's not a lie if you believe it. It's like basically the George Costanza thing where it's like, if you genuinely believe you're a different person, you are. Mm-hmm. And then he gradually does become that different person. We don't know who to believe because he doesn't know who to believe. Write this down.
We're recording it.
Oh, sorry. I got an assistant in the last couple of weeks. Write that down.
No shit.
Yeah.
I can't believe that.
Edgar.
You have an assistant named Edgar?
Yeah, Edgar's four, and he's, doing...
That's a child laborer,
Well, he's getting credit. He's getting pre-K credit.
For what?
Yeah, he doesn't have to do shapes this
Where are his
semester.
Parents?
His parents keep fucking calling me, and
so
I'm like...
They miss their son.
Yeah, they miss Edgar. They do. They do, and I get that, because he's incredibly affordable.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like you have him working for you for pre-K credit, which isn't
it's
a real
weird.
Thing.
People say, like, having a child is expensive. Like, Edgar is saving me cash.
I'm so surprised you taught him to write. So he's like, court stenography right now?
He's audio notes mostly. He has a iPad with a really thick pink case.
That's not very tasteful,
it's
Edgar.
Like thick, it's like thick and plastic case so that he doesn't like get sauce on it.
Right. Does he get sauce on a lot of things?
Yeah. Edgar is a messy little fucker, but I love him nonetheless.
I don't think you should swear.
His dad. Oh, yeah. Earmuffs, Edgar. Hold on. His dad is calling me.
You said earmuffs so late. Like you said the
hello.
Word.
Hello. Okay, bye.
Edgar's dad speaks Hebrew?
No, he doesn't. I pretend that I'm like an Israeli foreigner whenever he calls. And like I can't quite understand what he's saying.
You're the man, Blumenfeld.
Wait till you hear my New Year's resolutions is to do more fucking bits like this. All right, we got some more questions, but let's take a break right now. We'll be back for more Q's and A's after this. Words.
Yeah.
Thank you to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode of our show.
Oh, yeah, baby.
It can be easy to ignore your social battery and spread yourself thin, but that's not helping anybody.
Right on. It is not.
If you're feeling depressed or anxious about the state of the world or some sort of interpersonal relationship you're having with family, friends, loved ones, your job potentially.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
The best way to help yourself out of life's difficult situations is to talk to a professionally licensed therapist. And the best way to find a therapist is with BetterHelp.
Exactly. Right.
Finding a therapist used to be so difficult. You used to like have to ask a friend of a friend, drive to a waiting room, give it a shot, see how it goes. But with BetterHelp,
right.
You just fill out a brief questionnaire, you get matched with a licensed therapist right away, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge.
Perfect.
And you know the whole thing's online too.
Oh yeah. So you don't have to drive somewhere. You don't have to sit anywhere. You can just log on from your house. You can even text your therapist, which is very nice.
That's cool. So find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Just visit betterhelp.com/segments today to get 10% off your first month. Therapists can be very expensive. With BetterHelp, they're affordable. And if you go to BetterHelp, help.com/segments, you'll even get an extra 10% off their already more affordable price for your first month.
You'll love to hear it.
So treat your mental health seriously. Take advantage of this great offer. That's BetterHelp, help.com/segments.
Segments.
Thank you, BetterHelp. This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers. Aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt. Mm-hmm. So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura. And we're back. Hey, Jake, do you have any?
On to let's do the fight.
You know what I do, and I think you should too, because we are going on tour. We're finally hitting the road again.
What we're finally doing is talking about these shows, because they're almost sold out and we haven't mentioned them on the podcast yet.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, we sort of recorded before we left and then promoted the shows on social media. There's only like 45 tickets left for the New York show, so we're announcing it now a little late, and we apologize. But March 7th in New York at Gramercy Theater, March 9th in D.C. At the Black Cat, I believe it's called.
Have we? Where did? Is that's not where we did the last time. Or no, is it?
We've done Gramercy. We haven't done that Black Cat, the D.C. venue.
Yeah, but we've done Gramercy as part of a College Humor show. We've never done it on our own, a solo dolo sholo.
Yeah, we have Natto. That's going to be like our first shows in a year.
Yeah, that's crazy. The last show that we did like in Amsterdam?
It must be. Edgar, do you have my schedule?
Edgar, give Hold him on, a he's... break. Give him a snack. Let him watch a movie.
He's eating a plum.
Call his parents.
He's eating a plum and he's watching a cartoon.
Oh, that's adorable. That's adorable.
I guess it's been a 12-hour day, so I feel for the kid.
Jesus.
But tickets are available for both of those shows at jakeandamir.com. Again, not a lot of tickets left for the New York show. We're going to sell that one out very soon. Grab them while they're hot.
Where do people do that? On
jakeandamir.com or ifireeshow.com. I think I put
Tight.
put some links there. Do you have any New Year's resolutions?
Yeah, you know what? I had like four, but I can't remember any of them except for one that
which is
I wanna,
to write shit down.
Which is to get myself an Edgar. I want to learn how to lead climb.
You want to what? How to who where?
I want to learn how to lead climb,
which is what?
Well, you and I used to climb together. I still climb, but I do bouldering,
right?
Which, you know, bouldering
Correct.
Is no ropes. You got the pads. You can top out or climb down.
That's right. You don't go very high.
And then there's top rope. Those are gyms where you're on a rope. You climb up, let go, and you get belayed down. Lead climbing is kind of like top rope, but you go up with the rope. It's not secured to anything. You secure it as you climb.
Jesus Christos.
So it's like, it's more like...
It's all the fear of bouldering.
It's like a little fearful mixture, but I like sport climbing. I like climbing outside with ropes. And lead climbing is kind of the way to learn how to do that.
And you're going to do it outside?
I would like to. I guess that's my New Year's resolution, to learn to lead climb and to do a sport climbing trip outside.
Fuck. Mine's going to sound like nasty by comparison.
Right. Well, I guess that makes sense considering you have a 4-year-old indentured servant.
Yeah, it's just a little bit.
And you want to kill your dad.
I wanted to do those two and then to read less.
Read less?
Yeah. I feel like I'm so bogged down into like this Twitter and the Instagram, and I'm like freaking obsessed with social media. And
well,
I'm
that's
like,
good. So you want to read? So you want to like get off social media?
No,
like,
I want to do more of that, just because it's fun to like be plugged in and online. But like, what really gets in the way is like this nagging feeling that I should be reading books, like books and magazines and shit like right. that. And that's that shit
now?
I don't like. No, I don't. Like I don't read
I don't
it down.
Like. You don't read it. So you don't have to say you're going to read less because you already don't.
Well, like when I'm watching like TV, sometimes there's like words on the screen. So like I'm doing that. Obviously, I want to do that. I want to read more like that. Like if it's like a basketball game to score, read the score. What
right.
I don't want to do
reading.
Is like, yeah, I don't want to like better myself.
Why are you getting mad at me? I feel like you're discussing your resolution, but you're shouting it at me.
See, now like Edgar's also like starting to like nod disapproving. I feel like you're a bad influence on Edgar.
Me?
I really think you and Edgar are teaming up against me. Yeah. And my New Year's resolution.
Which you already said was.
And I hesitate. I hesitate to even say it now because I'm feeling a little bit on edge and like you guys are attacking me for the ones that I have already.
Yeah. You know what? I am a little bit. So, like, definitely, actually, I would advise you to tread lightly because I feel okay. like
I was going to punch either you or Edgar as hard as I could at one point this year.
That's not a resolution. That's a threat.
Okay.
And yeah. making it against Edgar is actually quite all illegal.
Right. All right. Edgar's all crying and you probably are too.
Oh, my God. This is so fucked up.
No, I'm crying.
You are crying. You're the only one. I don't even think Edgar's crying. I honestly would... I'd wager Edgar's not afraid of you at all.
Ah! He kicked me in the frickin' chin.
Get him, Edgar. Get him.
All right. Let's try to answer some more questions. We only did one so far.
Okay.
Oh, here's one from a lady in college. We'll call her Sarah Lawrence. Great. Sarah Lawrence writes, I've been binging your show for a year, and I'm almost caught up. Love what you're doing. Anyway, I'm a 20-year-old female in college, and I've been hooking up with this guy for a month, and things are going great. Well, not that great, because every time I sleep over at his place and wake up in the morning, I have a sore throat, stuffy nose, dry eyes, and a cough. It took me a minute to recognize that he uses down pillows and a down blanket. I'm incredibly allergic, and I've always been. So my question is, should I tell the guy that I'm spending the night at his place... should I tell him that spending the night at his place makes me physically sick? Can I bring my own pillow? Help. What we have going on is pretty chill, and it's starting to move on to something more serious. Love, the girl who's not down with the down.
Very good. Very, very good.
What a sweet question.
It is a really sweet question. I can't believe she would even consider suffering through not having a pillow.
Yeah, what do you say, that you're constantly getting a cold just to avoid him changing his pillow for you?
Yeah, he'll be happy to do that.
Yeah, or this is like a good test, because if he's not happy to do that, then he's a monster.
Right, this is a very, very reasonable request.
You say, should you say, can you change the pillow, or should you say like, hey, I don't like that pillow, I'm going to bring my own, and then see if he says, no, don't even worry about it. I'll get you a new pillow. Or should she say, hey, I can't sleep over there unless you change this shit?
I think you would say, hey, not that I don't like the pillow, because then it sounds like you're high maintenance or something. You say, hey, I am allergic to your pillows and comforter, so we either have to sleep at my place. Did she say that she has a place?
Yeah, she has a place. He has a place. All right, so we have to
sleep at my place, or I can buy myself a pillow for your house.
Yeah.
So it's like, you need to change the pillows. I'll pay for it. Or if you don't want to change your pillows, we have to sleep here.
Down is just like feathers, right?
I think there's different kinds of down. There's a synthetic down, and there's... the authentic down.
Yeah, but like a bag of feathers is basically what his pillow is.
Right, but then there's some, it's not like necessarily real feathers. It's like, it's faux feathers, feathers.
Yeah, so tell the guy, but then additionally, I think as a society starting now, we should start giving the word down a different name. Like, it's just a confusing name that it's also the material and also the opposite of up. Like, we can come up with something new. It doesn't have to be called down.
Fluff.
That's perfect. You're allergic to fluff. But now we have to change the name of the marshmallow spread. Because right, we don't want it to be like the sit.
Spread. That could just be marshmallow spread.
Yeah, but it should really have a name like, I don't know, up. So we'll call the marshmallow spread.
Like you're stepping
We'll call
up.
That up.
No, that's harder. Don't write that down, Edgar.
Edgar, no.
Erase it.
Edgar has a really cute small gun pointed at me. All right, next question. This one's a bit of a doozy, so see if you can wrap your cock around
I'll
it.
I'll be able to.
Do we have another lady's name? Let's go college themed.
Vassar.
I like that.
An all-girls school, but not really a name.
Vassar. Veronica Vassar.
Yeah.
Right. I'm a 24-year-old girl and I need your guy's help. One of my ex-best friends catfished my boyfriend and tried to get him to agree to cheat on me. The catfishing friend is a gay man who was pretending to be a straight girl, disguised his number using an app, and began texting my boyfriend, trying to get him to agree to sleep with quote-unquote her, under the guise that she used to know him. My boyfriend declined the offer and ended up blocking the number after the catfisher sent nudes. The catfisher then proceeded to message our friend group behind my back, trying to tell everyone that my boyfriend was attempting to cheat on me, and then messaged me the same thing. My boyfriend and I were able to expose the catfisher to my friend group, and I immediately blocked and cut all ties with his catfish friend. But here's the issue. Two of our mutual best friends both agreed that the catfisher and what he did was wrong. But they refuse to do anything about it and insist that their friendship with both of us continues as normal. The catfisher has not even attempted to apologize, even though the incident happened a couple months ago. Now my friend group continues to plan events and parties like we all used to, and everyone invites everyone and acts like I'm the rude and distant one when I decline because I don't want to see the catfisher. These two best friends of mine have been my closest friends for the past 10 years and have always been such kind and considerate friends that they insist what they're doing right now is not abandoning anyone. So I need some advice. What would you do in my situation? Should I turn my back on them and by extension the whole group and start anew? Should I pretend that the catfisher isn't there and try to function as if nothing happened? Or some other top-tier plan that you fellows come up with? Please help. Thanks, love, Veronica Vassar.
Fuck, that's hard. That's really hard.
Yeah, this guy basically tried to entrap your boyfriend, and it failed, but he still, like, tried to out him. You're like, that's right. He's hook up with me.
But it's still sort of winning on his end, because he's going to get to keep his friends, and you might not hang out with them anymore.
Yeah.
So that's wrong. I think... Two things. One, your friends are being bad. That's bad. They're being bad. Two, though, if you turn your back and start anew, that is letting him win. I feel like what you want to do is take a little ownership over this thing and like go to all the events, be confident, hang around, try to make the catfisher feel uncomfortable.
Yeah, you want to basically get to a position where he doesn't feel too comfortable. But he seems like a crazy guy that doesn't give a shit. He fucking tried to entrap your boyfriend, failed, and then it's like, oh, well, all right, on to the next. At least I tried. It's like, whoa, you shouldn't have done that.
It's just really hard to like leave a friend group entirely. Like my instinct, I do want to just be like, hey, fuck all these people. They're all insane. But it's hard to find brand new friends.
Yeah, imagine you're in a friend group of four, like you and the Twinnovation crew, and one of them really fucks over the other one. But do you ever have the person's back so much that it's like what they did? Like if Mike fucked over Dave so much that you no longer hang out with Mike, or you're always like, hey, Mike didn't do anything to me, so I'm fine with it.
I guess it would depend on what it was, but it'd be hard. I mean, unless, I don't know. I don't think I could, I don't know. Yeah,
it's hard to take on someone's beef if they did nothing to you, but just did something bad to a friend. But especially if you're closer to the friend.
Yeah. But then there's also, like, this thing that he did was bad, but incredibly creepy. It's not just like, this guy cheated on my girlfriend or like, you know, something like kind of like a one-off thing, stole some money, did something that was like a big no-no, but you can like get down to the root of it and figure out what was up.
Yeah. Like
he made this weird campaign where he took on a fake identity and tried to like sow discord among everybody.
That's right. He tried to sow discord.
It's so batshit crazy that, I mean, I guess I'd want to keep on hanging out with him just to keep my eye on him.
That's cool.
Yeah.
You act like that shit gets you off. Or you just switch it around. you try to do like some crazy maneuver because it's open season. You have carte blanche access right. to fuck with him back.
This is war.
Yeah, that's right. Some sort of intervention, some sort of catfishing.
I vote you hang out and you're just like confident, like you belong in the friend group and this guy doesn't. You know, there's a party, you obviously show up with the boyfriend, you say hey to everybody, and then like you say hey to this the catfisher, and you ask, like, you know, if the girl he pretended to be was named Phoebe, you say, hey, is Phoebe coming tonight?
Just kidding, you know,
and like move on into the next room.
So the best revenge is just pretending you don't give a shit about this right. guy.
He's not going to take your friends. You're still going to be around with your friends, and you can just make snide remarks at him. That's what I would do.
I've never living like well, lost living, it.
Living well is the best revenge, as long as you can be kind of catty about it too.
I've never like lost a friend due to like one epic thing, like a fight that splintered a friendship forever. Have you ever like lost somebody because of a thing like that?
Yeah, in high school, I lost a friend because of that.
What happened?
It was over a girl.
Of course.
I broke up a relationship and then chose to date the girl instead of trying to make amends with a friend. And that was it.
Still to this day, no contact.
Yeah. But I mean, I think it wasn't just that. I think there was like other factors. Like we were going to college. We were like probably on different tracks in our life anyway.
Yeah, it was already splintering, so you just sort of kicked him further away.
Yeah, I think now in my older life, I think I would try to work anything out with like my friends at this point. You're in too deep. Yeah, I've chosen the friends that I have.
All right, last question.
Yeah.
This one's from a 21-year-old lady from the Great White North. So let's just choose classic British Columbian University, Emily Carr University of Art and Design. Emily Carr.
Whoa.
And that's not like anything I looked up. That's just
did
like,
Edgar pull that? Edgar?
Edgar sort of saw where this whole day was going, and he like fed me that line. He's really on top of his shit for a four.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, he's not 4 years old. He's just a 4 out of 10.
I see. He's an ugly 6-year-old.
Yeah. All right. Emily Carr writes, I'm a 21-year-old young lady from the Great White North. I've never been in a relationship, and I've only had a few drunken hookups while I was solo traveling in Europe. A couple weeks ago, I decided that I was sick of being a forever alone uggo and went on a Tinder date to see if I could find a nice man. Little to no surprise, most guys were only looking for hookups, and I wasn't very interested until I got sick of it and gave in. I'm talking to this guy who at the time seemed understanding that I am not the most experienced, so we made plans to meet up. He came over to my house, and I started to panic. I was racing around the house moments before he knocked, and once he came in, I was a nervous mess. I started to sweat, so we just put on a movie and sat down. Prior to coming over, he said he would stop at any time if I wasn't feeling okay, but clarified the fact that since he was driving 25 minutes to my house, that he wasn't going to come over if we weren't going to do anything. So when he asked me if I wanted him to leave, I felt bad and said no. We started to kiss, so we went up to my room. Things started to get heated, and I was giving him a BJ, my first ever sober BJ, and I thought I was doing okay. I've gotten compliments in the past. All of a sudden, he says, okay, you can stop now. I'm going to see myself out, and just walked out of my house. I texted him after asking him what happened, and he said, it was bad. You were too nervous. I'm not interested anymore. I felt like an actual piece of trash on the side of the highway. I understand that maybe I wasn't the best, but I can assure you that there is some skill involved. Do you think what he did was okay? Would you ever walk out on a girl if she's not giving you that great of a BJ? Should I continue in my quest to find a good man that will treat me right? Or are all men trash? Thanks. Sorry for the long email. Emily Carr.
Duh, good Lord. You take the first stab at that one. That one makes me mad.
Well, is anything he did good? Is anything that he did fine? I would say texting and saying, I'm not coming over unless we're going to do something is bad.
Right. I mean, that's awful. That's a sign number one. Don't invite that guy over. Screenshot that. Make that your new profile picture. Like, if you match with this guy.
Swipe this left.
Yeah.
Stopping her in the middle of a BJ and saying, you can stop now. I'm going to see myself out.
That's, I mean, absolutely awful. So psychologically damaging.
That also.
Yeah.
Texting and saying, hey, how was it? And he says, it was bad. You were too nervous. I'm not interested anymore. Is that the worst of the three?
I would say the first one is the worst of the three because that set the tone for the entire thing. When even when she was nervous, she felt too guilty asking him to leave. So she got herself into a situation based on his like, I don't know, framing of their hangout where she didn't feel comfortable saying no.
And then would you ever walk out on a girl if she's not giving you that great of a BJ? No, that's a trash move. He's a trash man. Do you think what he did was okay? No. But I wanted to answer this question right before 2019 because this can be a good New Year's resolution. It doesn't mean you should give up entirely.
Yeah,
because I would, not all men are trash.
No, 80%. That's a lot, but it's not all.
How do you avoid trash? Like in the future, somebody sends you that text. Maybe you say, okay, never mind. I don't want you to come over with any expectations. Don't come over. Never mind. Leave.
Yeah. I think most men are trash. But there are some that are so stupid that they let you know that they're trash really early. This guy did that. He's in like the 50%. So say 80% of men are bad.
Yeah.
I feel like 50% are like outwardly bad in a very noticeable way.
Oh, that's a good New Year's resolution, is to, when somebody tells you that they're bad in a very outwardly noticeable way, cut them off right there. Yeah.
If someone tells you they're a piece of shit, believe them.
Yeah, I think that's a famous quote. Not with the piece of shit part, but the other part. If somebody tells you who they are, believe them.
Mm.
And it's a good New Year's resolution for dudes not to be a piece of trash.
Yeah, there's a small glint of hope even in this guy because I like to think that maybe part of him wasn't enjoying this BJ because he knew she was nervous and he said that, but there's a way to say that politely, you know, like you're not ready for this or you like, I can tell you're not into it. Let's not push it.
Yeah.
Like that's good behavior, but shaming also like saying that and using it to shame her is awful.
Yeah. Not communicating that until she asks you also bad.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a sweet thing in here if you mine away all the garbage, which was stopping her when you realized she was very nervous and panicked before you got there. But what you did and how you went about it was bad.
Right. And you can't, like, you also did everything to make her nervous. So then you can't be like, oh, this is awful. You're nervous. So,
was it the ultimatum I texted on my way over that didn't help the situation?
Yeah, fuck you, you piece of shit.
How about she sends us this guy's picture, we'll put it up on our website. That way we can sort of publicly out/shame this individual so that nobody else ever deals with him ever again.
Now we're talking, dude.
Edgar, write that down.
Yeah. Edgar, we're going to catch all the scum out there.
It's going to be like some sort of Robin Hood. But
you and me, Edgar.
Morality. All right, that's it. That's our time. We got to go. We got to go ring in the new year. And so do you guys. Thanks so much for listening this entire, not just this episode, but this whole year.
Yeah, party hard tonight. Have fun, everybody.
Should we tell people the big difference of this episode? See if they realize, see if they notice.
Oh, yeah.
This is the first episode we had to record remotely. Jake is still in New York. We wanted to still record a podcast episode, so we're doing it using state-of-the-art technology, Facebook audio, and we're going to splice it together.
FaceTime audio, not Facebook audio.
Yeah, Christ. FaceTime audio. Let us know if you realize that, and not like in a cool way, like I knew something was off. I need the actual response. I need some verified responses that say, yes, I realized, or no, I didn't. I couldn't tell at all.
That'd be great.
What do you think? Most people realized or most people didn't?
I'm going to say most people didn't.
Wow. But then yeah. We'll say that they did?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because
people slimy didn't. Fuckers.
People don't like to admit that they were duped, even in a passive, inconsequential way.
That's right.
Edgar, write that down.
That's not that wise, Edgar.
Wouldn't you have seen Edgar if we were in the same room, too? Maybe that tipped it off.
That could have.
Either way, happy 2019. What are you going to do for New Year's?
I'm going to go to, I'm going to meet up with my brother, maybe Jeff, Dave, and we're going to go to Jill's friend's apartment.
Classic apartment party. Oh, my God.
Classic apartment party. What's your plan?
I'm probably not doing anything because the very next day, early in the morning, I'm taking a family trip. I have to get on a flight. So we're doing a first through the fifth trip to Arizona.
No shit.
Yeah.
Where at?
I'll give you the exact coordinates offline, but just as a little hint, here's the first two letters of the address.
Never mind. I got to run, bud.
One, two, and then the city is FL. Our Patreon has the full address if you want to tweet up and
meet
up. Only
for the masters.
Thanks to everyone who has been watching our Patreon videos. We're still making them. More If I Were You content and more Jake and Amir. Watch Jake and Amir at patreon.com/JA. And again, those live shows that you can still buy tickets to for now at jakeandamir.com. Happy New Year's to you, Jake. And Happy New Year's to everyone listening.
Ciao, everybody.
Opening theme song was written by Martin. This closing theme song was this techno song. Shit, let me pull up who wrote it. Edgar, you piece of shit.
Whoa.
Sorry, I shouldn't scream. Maddie. Maddie did a little boom bop head nodder JNA intro theme song for Dadaz. So thanks, Maddie. Thanks, Martin. Dope. Thanks to you guys for listening. We'll be back next year. Ciao. Welcome to If I Were You, the only advice podcast on the internet, hosted by us. I'm Amir.
I'm Jake.
Question.
I know.
Never mind.
Question.
Okay. For the record, I did answer the question.
Forget it because you're dumb. Forget it because you don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
Ass. Stop saying ass so much.
Ass.
You're using it as a crutch.
Ass.
And it's not as funny as you think it is.
Ass.
Just go back to being the needy weirdo that you used to be, alright? You couldn't possibly know.
The proof is in the smile. Dipshit.
What?
Welcome to If I Were You, the only advice podcast on the internet, hosted by us. I'm Amir.
I'm Jay.
Forget it because you're dumb?
Forget it because you don't know what the fuck you're talking about. Ass.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.
Hey there, podcast listener. Good news. We're doing another HeadGum Happy Hour in New York City.
Whoa, that's amazing news. Amir, why don't you tell the folks when and where it is?
Okay, fine. It's Tuesday, May 7th at 7:30 p.m. at the Bell House.
Okay, and why don't you tell everybody who the fucking hosts are?
Yeah, that would be us. It would be, we're hosting it. It's Jake and Amir.
Okay, and how about this, you little piece of shit? Why don't you tell everybody who is going to be performing? Who is this show featuring?
All right, I don't appreciate being called that, but it is featuring Charlie Bardet, Natalie Rotter-Lateman of Exploration
Live. Why don't you tell them who else it's featuring?
Yeah, Millie Tamaras and Elise Morales of the Go Touch Grass podcast, and
some surprise guests as well.
More, yes.
And Mir, why don't you go ahead and close this out now? You say something like, thanks for listening, we'll see you at the show, or something like that. Why don't you go ahead and do that?
Okay, I will. It's
can you do that?
So go buy a ticket at headgum.com/live, and we'll see you there.
All right, bye.